of looking at it, it just looks more and more like a travesty. And I think that's where your credibility comes from, when you're not really on a side. And it's odd because that's where being an outsider probably did help a bit at Ipperwash, that I didn't know anyone, and that frankly, and the next day, if a story had come up that had showed the police were in some kind of a danger.
You know, it's Radio Free Thinker because it's Sign of the Gypsy Queen.
Oops.
Okay, and we're not having the Gypsy Queen. So, welcome to Radio Free Thinker on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Ethan, you're a free-thinking historian.
This is Don, explaining that we have technical difficulties. The play button seems to be temporarily broken and is now the stop button.
This is Rob, cognitive psychologist, and drawing your attention away from the fact that we have technical difficulties by saying that, holy crap, I just ran my last subject in my gaze control study yesterday, and now I have to embark on the long and happy road of data analysis.
Did you say gay control study?
Gaze control.
Gaze. Oh, so is this like gaze in the military or?
No, this is gaze as in where your eyes are looking.
Oh, okay. Speaking of technical difficulties, in our ever evolving attempt to bring informative and information to you, we have a new segment called Beating the Curve. The idea of this is to give you information that's out there that could be used by quacks, phonies, pseudoscience, etc.
Getting to the story before the crazy people do.
Exactly. I was reading, I was listening to an interview on Democracy Now! About a person who wrote an article in the Atlantic Review about vaccinations and how vaccinations don't work. Call it.
Holy crap.
Don't freak
out.
What
do you mean vaccinations don't work? Who right. says this? How do they justify that vaccinations don't work?
The first thing she mentioned, the big thing she emphasizes in this is that vaccinations are safe, 100% safe. No worries. Get vaccinated. It's good for you. Where the study goes is the fact that the current methodology for applying vaccinations for the flus and H1N1, for example, is to try and hit the most vulnerable first, the elderly, the immune-suppressed children. Well, studies have been showing that actually that might not be the best way to go, that because these people have compromised immune systems, their response to the vaccine isn't as strong as it could be. That's one of the things you heard about. They were wondering whether the H1N1, whether they're going to have to give you two shots or one shot. And the idea is that you got to try to jumpstart your immune system to fight this. And they have found that maybe it's not quite as effective to give it to the old people or the ill because their immune systems are compromised. They don't get enough of a reaction. So instead, maybe what we should be doing is that we should be giving it to the healthy people. And the idea is to set up firewalls. If every healthy person in society is vaccinated against the flu, then the flu never gets a foothold, and those people who are more vulnerable are less likely to get it from that.
And this kind of tactic is actually supported by some research that recently was collated into a book. And this guy, I can't recall his name right now, but he's done research for decades about how people form social networks and how various things spread through the social networks, from anything from ideologies to quitting smoking to obesity. And he basically suggests that we should be vaccinating the people who are the most popular and the most central to the network because they interact with the most people. And you can nip the spread of anything in the bud by stopping it from spreading from these people that have connections to a lot of other people in the network.
One of the other complications that came up in this article was also the idea, it's very hard to do proper double-blind scientific tests, which is something we've always promoted for most everything, because it's considered to be unethical. If there's actually a treatment that can save someone's life, you can't deny them that treatment. So
you can't end up using placebos because it's considered unethical to deny anybody the treatment which might work.
Exactly. But now this is where we get worried, because these little bits can be jumped upon by the anti-vax movement saying, see, vaccinations don't help, they're not even properly tested, you don't know what's going to happen. None of that is true. So what is true is the vaccinations are perfectly safe. Two, the vaccinations do help. They do save lives. And three, there are some questions about how it should be applied in society. And those are not if we should, but just how we should.
So when you see in the news in the upcoming weeks, anti-vaccinationists quoting this article out of context and saying things like, the vaccinations don't work, remember that you heard it here first because we're ahead of the curve.
Excellent. Speaking of things in the news,
There's another news story that's been making some waves over across the pond. The chairman of the Advisory Council on the Misuse of Drugs in for the Advisory Council of the UK government, David Nutt, was fired recently by Alan Johnson, the Home Secretary.
It must have been what he was stealing office supplies. He murdered someone in the office. I mean, you don't fire someone for... I mean, it's got to be something pretty big.
He disagreed with the government's stance on the illegality of drugs.
So bastard.
Some longtime listeners might recall that way back in the first six or seven of our episodes, we talked about how the public perception of the danger of drugs is in no way related to the actual danger of drugs. And David Nutt has built on this sort of research, and he recently published a list ranking of how dangerous drugs were. And things that are considered very illegal and very dangerous by many governments, such as ecstasy, actually ranked quite low on the list. And things that are completely legal and used by everybody, like alcohol, were very much more dangerous than people thought they were and were ranked highly on Nutt's list. Now, Alan Johnson, being the Home Secretary, did not enjoy this public deprecation of
the government wants to have a single front on this. We're against anything that's bad to families.
So David Nutt was let go. This led to the resignation of two other people on the council, and now there's this massive uproar by scientists in the UK and all over the world saying that, look, governments shouldn't ignore the decisions made by advisory councils based on evidence. You cannot ignore evidence. And this is exactly what is going on by Alan Johnson and the UK government.
This reminds me of an interesting story in the United States about the global warming and how politicians tried to alter the science that was coming out.
Right, and it's actually had quite an effect because now the whole board is threatening to resign, and there is quite a bit of fallout. It's quite an embarrassment for the I believe it's the Conservative Party he's a member of, right?
Yes. And David Cameron is also talking about this in the news. And here's a quote from Lord Krebs, a former Food Standards Agency chief. It will send shockwaves through the scientific community and make it more difficult for the government to recruit the best people to help with scientific advice to underpin public policy.
Actually, the government in England's Labour government, although it's very hard to tell the
difference. Well, isn't it like he's the cabinet positions are made up of multiple parties, is it not?
Or? No, single party. It's like here.
Interesting.
So, but the point...
The point is that they're ignoring evidence.
They're ignoring evidence for political reasons. I mean, those people who don't know, the Labour government in England is under threat. They're really going to lose the next election, so they're desperate to keep whatever handle they can over the Conservative Party, who is biting at their butt right now. So, it's political things. It's a funny thing, too, because I was just reading in an article a little while ago about how Holland has been shutting down prisons because they just don't have enough... prisoners. And one of the things that's credited to do that is that they have a very liberal drug policy. So they're not throwing drug criminals in there. And everyone said, well, if you liberalize drug policies, you're going to become the trash bag of Europe because everyone's going to go there to get stoned and hopped. And that just hasn't happened. Which reinforces this nut guy's opinion about the scientific evidence behind that and how government shouldn't be manipulating science for political gains.
No, and he's actually been quite incendiary about it. You know, let's put credit where credit is due. He has been on record as saying that ecstasy is less dangerous than riding a horse.
Well, I mean, there's also a matter of maintaining appearances, right? Like, it's very difficult for a politician to go out there and say, listen, ecstasy is okay in our book. You know, that's not going to fly with a lot of people in Britain, let's be honest, right? A lot of people are going to see that and go, that's no good.
Ultimately, politicians find it very difficult to say that I was wrong.
Not even that. I mean, you know, it's not like the scientists in this situation are going to have a ton of public credential, right? I mean, even if you had a top scientist in the United States go out there and say that, for instance, marijuana is less dangerous than alcohol... You know, he's going to get
it is according to many scientists.
Which, but yeah, obviously it's true. You're going to have a serious, you know, public reaction, not so much from media, maybe, or liberal media, as you know, Glenn Beck might say, but just the public at large, right? Not everybody is as informed about realities of drugs.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is it's pointing that the drug policies in a lot of countries aren't there to protect its citizens, but to protect the moral conception of what a citizen should be. They're not health codes. They're moral codes.
Exactly.
Go back to what you were saying, that this is exactly what David Nutt was trying to do. He was trying to inform the public of the actual scientific evidence and consensus about the danger of drugs. He published this in a public forum. And then he was sacked for it. I think that's what makes people mad most of all, is that he was trying to actually spread the information so that people would be more informed, and he got fired for it.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I know that a lot of newspapers in the UK, like The Guardian, are absolutely raking them over the coals for this, and perhaps rightly so.
Well, doesn't it just make you mad? Doesn't it just make you feel more critically minded?
Well, what are you hinting at there, Rob?
I'm very broadly and obviously hinting at a psychology study that was published and discussed recently in the Vancouver Sun, but also elsewhere, that being in a bad mood actually makes you less gullible. In the regard that being in a bad mood makes you better at critical thinking, makes you more detail-oriented in your judgment, and makes you more aware of changes and things in your environment.
Well, speaking of being more aware of our environment, perhaps some of our listeners remember that earlier in October, Vancouver hosted the Body, Soul, and Spirit Expo at the Vancouver Convention Center. And us at Radio Free Thinker attended this convention, and we've made some interesting recordings, and we even have some video that will be on the webpage eventually. But we all have a few ideas about this convention that we want to share with you guys. And after the commercial break, we'll be airing some short clips we have. So I hope you stay tuned for that.
Enjoy them.
Hello, this is Stephen Merritt from the Magnetic Fields, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
So we're at the Body, Soul, and Spirit Expo. I'm here with Ethan.
Hey, everybody.
And we're just wandering through the expo floor, having a look at all the different tarot card readers. We see here Mayan Oracle card reading. That one costs
$80 for 1 hour.
All right. What else we got here? We have a metaphysical reader. Palmistry, numerology, Celtic animal cards.
$20 for 15 minutes.
All right. We're getting a pretty go. Here, psychic readings, tarot, palm, astrology.
$40.
Fortunes told. And there's quite a lot of these actually here. We're going through. We see relaxing healing music. Engadget. Here we are. Indian Vedic palm reader and a Vedic numerologist as well. And let's see. I see playing cards, newspaper articles, and very cool.
And
we're back on.
Back on Radio Free Thinker. Wow, one of these days. So that was just a short clip from the Mind, Body, Spirit Expo. So Rob, what were your opinions walking around there looking at all those fortune tellers and people selling wares and all that?
It seemed like about half of the people that were there to sell their services, these tarot card readers, these various diviners and so on and so forth, for anywhere from $20 to $80 for short periods of time, giving you some sort of reading with some random method. And it's a pretty big business. I mean, that was the first thing that struck me, was that almost everybody there was out to make a buck.
Yeah, we actually encountered people who were basically advocating pyramid scheme. They even gave us a piece of paper and drew a pyramid on it.
That was the most entertaining and terrifying thing of all, was obvious scammers that were dressing up whatever they were selling in the terms of the Body, Soul, and Spirit Expo. This one guy was selling Jewel of the Orient. It's a bottle of this juice that's made from a jiaogulan herb, which grows on an ancient mountaintop in China. There was a lot of stuff there that grows on ancient mountaintops in China.
Yeah.
It's golden if it's up there. And I tried it. There's a recording somewhere of it. We might play it later. We might not. And it tasted kind of weird. It was okay. But the important part was that immediately after trying it, the lady there launched into a pitch saying that, you know, oh, if you like it, here, you should talk to this guy, and he'll tell you all about how you can get started selling it to other people. And they give up promotional material that actually draws out and says, look, you go out and recruit three of your friends, and they each go out and recruit three of their friends. The textbook multi-level marketing scam.
You know, it's funny, too, because if anyone who listens to Skeptoid just did a recent episode about multi-level marketing and how much of a scam it truly is. And to see it come to our own little branch of the world here in Vancouver, there is one thing that really impressed me, and I think this is where you get personality types tend to flock together. Did you guys notice that everyone who was there were really, really nice people? I mean, they'd walk up to you, they're really friendly, they had the big smiles and warm, and it was just like, you know, it was like going home and having a nice roast chicken dinner, and you felt so welcome. And
well,
then, of course,
some of the people were really, really friendly and nice, and I think genuinely meant it, but some of the people you could tell were snake oil salesmen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that wasn't the only scammer there. There was another guy that was asking people to write down their contact information and enter into a draw. A free draw for a vacation trip or something. He didn't have anything to do with body, soul, or spirit, so far as I could tell. So on a whim, I gave him my cell phone number and my name. And a couple days later, I get a phone call from some Amazon travel agency in South Daytona Beach, Florida, telling me about how I have, congratulations, you've won the chance to take an all-expenses-paid vacation. And he launches into this pitch that, again, was textbook scam. He started talking about timeshares, even.
I know there's one of those ones, actually. I had one, too. I went to one of those, a market around town, and I had won a free cruise. All I had to do was pay, like, a $350 administrative fee.
Yeah, there's all those administration
fees.
Then I went
online. And I went and I checked out. If I had paid for the cruise itself, it was only like $300 if I had just gone down and bought a ticket.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's quite funny. Well, it's not actually that funny, but we saw pretty much every possible pseudoscience there. I mean, there was quantum power magnets, essences in a bottle, health and wellness bracelets, Sufi meditation, mom meditation, energy medicine, chiropractors, herbal remedies, conspiracy theories. Everything, really. Psychics and palm readers and massage therapists.
And even one guy who is making titanium cast iron pots, you know.
Yeah, that wasn't pseudoscience-y. That was just kind of strange.
His demo was pretty cool, and he looked kind of bored. I think he went to the wrong expo.
Yeah.
Well, they had right next door, they had the baby expo, too, so maybe he was...
I think I did see someone who was at the wrong expo, because they were selling, like, diapers or something, but...
Yeah. Well, spiritual smoke and the spirit drums. You know, I mean, they had a relatively good diversity, actually. But you know who I think was really doing the scamming there? How much did you guys pay to go into the show?
$12.
$12 for everyone. And we know, because we were thinking about going to the show as a presenter, that each one of those tables were $500 each.
Yeah.
How much production do you think actually went into setting up that room? I mean, I don't think there was a heck of a lot in there. I think the people who were really raking in the money were the people who were putting on that. I just mentioned that to say that even scammers can get scammed.
Well, they must have thought that they could make their money back in some form or another. I mean, I'm sure that
the scammers will at least make their money back.
Yeah. Well, one of the interesting talks we had with people there was about allergy medicine. And we made a recording of this conversation we had with this one person who was selling some kind of homeopathy allergy medicine, and we made a recording.
She's selling the essences of the allergens, the energies, in these little vials that she bought from a different company down in California. And she, in this clip, is going to administer to me an allergy test that involves a method that I don't think is based in any kind of science of allergies that I have ever heard of.
Before we play this, hold on. My prediction is you had some allergies and you needed her products.
We'll see.
So we're at the Body, Soul, and Spirit Expo here in Vancouver, and we've come to the allergy sufferers booth. Could you tell us a little more about what you do?
We do muscle testing to find out exactly what your allergy is. We have vials for everything, and we're working energetically, so the most of the vials have the energy of. So let's say you're intolerant to latex, it's the energy of latex in the vial, or cat hair, or whatever. We need to know specifically what you're intolerant to. And then what we do is we take the vials and we stick it on this little machine we have called a bioenergetic intolerance elimination machine. We touch certain acupressure points with this little probe. It's not a poke or nothing hurts. We just touch these acupressure points. And in about 20 minutes, you don't have reactions to whatever we placed on it anymore. So if we place cat hair on there, you don't react to cat hair anymore.
What if you have really severe allergies, like people who are allergic to peanuts, for instance?
Yeah, if you have anaphylaxis, you have to come four times. You have to come four times for the treatment, and then you have to go to your doctor will give you a readout that says you are anaphylactic. You have to wait till that number comes down, till he will say to you, you are no longer anaphylactic, and it will come down. It just, their bodies are a bit different. It'll come down anywhere between a couple of months and a couple of years, but it will come down and you won't be anaphylactic anymore.
Okay. So how do you get the energy of the...
We don't. We buy those vials out of a company in California, but we can buy, like I said, anything. We can even buy emotions. We can buy a vial of... because it's energy. You can have the energy of anything.
So you can buy a vial of happiness?
You can.
How would that work exactly? How would you get a vial of happiness?
I think what they do, like I said, they make it in California. I think that what they do is they put the probes and everything on the head and the cords are going into the water. They make the person feel the emotion and the energy goes into the water and they bottle it. But these vials aren't made specifically for us. They're made for naturopaths and other practitioners.
Okay, so you just focus on the allergy side of things.
Just focus on the allergy side because we need to find, for example, hay fever. People come and say, I have hay fever, I'm allergic to grass and trees.
I suffer from hay fever.
Right? Well, we need to know exactly what grass and trees, right? So we find out exactly what through muscle testing, then we stick it on there, touch a certain acupressure point, no more hay fever.
How does the muscle testing work?
It's just through energies. If your body doesn't recognize the frequency of that, everything in the whole world has its own specific frequency, right? If your body doesn't recognize that frequency, it will weaken you. So I'm testing the forearm muscle. I'm using your fingers, and if your fingers open, I mean, you're a man, right? You're stronger. Your fingers should be stronger than I am. If I can open your fingers easily, that means that specific substance is weakening you. So to me, that tells me you're intolerant to that.
I thought allergies were an immune response that are caused by various chemicals.
That's the medical terminology. The blood testing and the pricking of the arm, they are looking for an immune response. Our terminology is anything that gives you a reaction is an allergy or intolerance. People normally, the difference between allergy and intolerance is the immune system or not reacting. Okay. Ours is, if you get a reaction, you're intolerant to it, right? I mean, a number of people have gone to allergists and they say you're not allergic to that, but they know there's something going on, they can't eat that or whatever.
Could you give me a test and find out what I'm intolerant to?
I absolutely can. You said you have hay fever?
Yeah.
Okay, do you have a watch on?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I just have the strap.
Okay, just for this time, I want you to... Oh, wait, are you right-handed or left?
Right-handed.
Okay, then I'm going to do the left because you're a boy and you're stronger than me. So you're going to hold your fingers together like that.
Okay.
And I'm going to do that and you're not going to let me.
So I'm holding my thumb against my ring finger?
Yeah.
And you're trying to pull them apart?
Yeah. Just this one time, I want your hands flat in your head.
All right.
I have to make sure your energies are balanced. Okay, hold. Again, hold. Okay, now flip your hand over like that. Hold. Perfect. Okay, stay there.
So I'm standing here with my fingers together and my hand overturned on top of my hat. And we're taking a vial of something.
Okay, you can take your hand down. I just want you to hold that right there because that's the muscle I'm testing.
Okay, so I'm holding it against my forearm.
Okay, hold. Let's see, you can't hold that. just put it down here and just right there. Now I should get the opposite reaction because I'm not holding it against that muscle anymore. Hold. I can feel it already. There's no way I can open your arms. Okay, put it back up there.
And we're putting it back to my fingers, my forearm, and...
Hold. No problem.
And she's pulling my fingers apart.
No problem. That's ragweed. So you... The energy of ragweed is weakening your muscle. Obviously, if it's weakening that muscle, it's weakening your whole body, right? We only brought the common ones here. We have vials of all the plants and pollens in this area. Let's just try another one.
Pretty interesting. So, giving it another go with something else.
Hold. Ooh, really bad. Cottonwood.
Cottonwood, apparently, I'm really allergic to.
So, you see how we have to get each and every plant you're intolerant to. Stick it on the vial, or sorry, the machine. Touch their neck and pressure points, and you don't react to them anymore. 80% of the population only need the one visit. The other 20% are usually people who are really under a lot of stress or get themselves dehydrated and just a mess, right? They may need 2 or 3 visits.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And we're back on Radio Free Thinker. I hope you enjoyed that little clip. So, Rob, what was going on there?
Well, what she was using is a sort of old Swami trick. Basically, a combination of her pulling with different strengths. She's not pulling at a constant strength, and every time she's doing it, she's either, you know, doing it weakly or strongly.
Pulling what again?
Pulling my fingers apart. I'm holding my thumb and my ring finger together. She sticks her thumbs in between them and tries to pull them apart. And when she thinks it's going to work, I'm pretty sure that she, you know, she pulls harder. And that could be unconscious. I don't know if it was, you know, a conscious scam. I think she was taught this technique by someone else. But the point is that unless you have some way of making sure that every single time you try and pull the fingers apart, you're pulling with the exact same force, there's no way that that's an accurate test. And it seems like this is the only test she uses to make sure that people are actually allergic to things. She said that, you know, this is muscle testing. She uses muscle testing to figure it out. I mean, that's not the only thing that was wrong with it, but I think it invalidates the testing procedure pretty quickly. And we actually saw these kinds of Swami muscle tricks used elsewhere that we'll talk about on another show, perhaps.
I was amazed at the number of things she brought up there. I mean, there was acupuncture, homeopathy, there were magnetic fields, there was all sorts of...
Energy, you know, the forms of homeopathy, putting stuff in water. It was pretty much went through all the different tropes.
Bioenergy, yeah, it was very...
Well, why don't we take a commercial break and we can digest that and come back for some more.
I believe I've survived for a reason to tell my story to touch lives.
Hip-hop artist Emmanuel Jal, once a child soldier in Sudan, has returned to his home country, and this time his weapon is a microphone. His unique story and effort to build peace, War Child, is just one of the 25 films featured this year at the Amnesty International Film Festival, November 12th to 15th at the Van City Theater, 1181 Seymour Street. Full program available at amnestyfilmfest.ca. Brought to you in part by CITR Radio.
Me, I got a reason for being on this earth, cause no more than many water, life is worth enough. Now that I get a chance to stand my ground, I'm gonna run over mountains, leaps and bounds.
So you just tried some tea from Tiso Divine. How does it feel?
Actually, I totally noticed a difference when he had his magic cup that he brought out. We had a sample of just the regular, the tea not put into the cup, and then we had after, and I just feel like it's so much clearer, cleaner, brighter, fresher.
All right, so there was a difference between the tea before and the tea after the magic cup.
Huge difference.
All right. And you said something about how it what it's made of?
Oh, it's made of 20 different minerals, and including a semi-precious stone called tourmaline. So tourmaline can generate infrared light that can break down water molecule clusters. And when you get smaller water molecule cluster, you get softer water, and also that comes with more oxygen. When you get more oxygen in your water, your body feels more alive, and you feel more alert, and your body can absorb water better. And when we cannot absorb water well, we get sick, we get bloated, we can some easily gain extra weight. So if people want to lose weight, they should drink softer water. And this cup can give you more oxygenated water and softer water. And in the long run, you feel more energetic, you feel better metabolism, and you can detoxify better. And you just feel much better overall.
Thank you very much from Tissot Divine at the Body Soul Spirit Expo.
And we're back on Radio Free Thinker.
So yeah, the cups were actually really nice looking. They had the sort of crystal handles. It was green and carved, but magic cups? Really?
That was one of the things I noticed. I mean, there was a lot of trinkets. You know, they had the power gems and they had all this stuff. And I mean, if it wasn't for the woo-woo magic-y stuff that they tried to put, I said, you know, some of it's nice. They might sell it just on its own, but they always have to add this extra metaphysical claim that just ruins the whole thing.
Well, I mean, we made some recordings with some people who were clearly scam artists. We made some recordings with people who probably were true believers. But we also made some recordings with people who were, in my opinion, mentally unstable. People who I think were suffering from paranoid delusions. And we're not going to air those clips because that, well...
We felt a little exploitative when we were doing it. But the fact remains that... these people are exploited by people who perpetuate these sorts of false beliefs and nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, we can laugh at it, but it is pretty serious to a certain degree. I mean, especially when you are advocating not to take, you know, science-based medicine or not to, you know, pursue evidence-based research. Just trust something like, you know, well, the energy will make you feel better.
That was one of the things that I was worrying about, and maybe you can clarify. So when this person with the allergy test that you took, right, Ethan had mentioned that, you know, well, what if you have peanut allergy? She said, oh, yeah, we'll get rid of those. I mean, isn't that really kind of...
Life-threatening? Dangerous. It doesn't work. There is no way that this works. And yet she's saying, yeah, you just have to come in four times and then you go to your doctor and he'll give you readouts, blah, blah, blah. And she says something that you just have to wait. Eventually it will go down. And maybe it goes down for some other reason. I don't think that's in any way a reliable indicator that you no longer have anaphylaxis and peanuts will no longer kill you. So the mentally ill people who are exploited by this, we aren't going to air those. But stay tuned to our show for the next couple of weeks because we're going to be airing about the people who we can skewer the hell out of because they are scammers and liars.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty well said there, Rob. And we're right out of time. So this is Ethan, your free-thinking historian, saying goodnight.
This is Don saying eyes open, minds on.
This is Rob saying remember that it's Carl Sagan's birthday on November 9th, so be sure to celebrate Carl Sagan Day. Good night, everybody.
Then there's the utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station. Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on. College radio can pretty much be summed up in five words.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
At night can be scary.
Stop right there, student. Why walk alone when you can call Safe Walk?